Here comes Adams down the heart of the floor. Off to El Marco. Back to KJ. Hawks trailing by four. Now Harris takes a handoff from Adams. 13:35 to go. KJ from 15. Bang! Got it again. KJ Adams. He's got 18 points. Kansas down just two.
And that's as close as the Jayhawks would get last night in the second round of the Big 12 tournament at T-Mobile Center in Kansas City as KU loses to Cincinnati. Welcome to Sports Ticket, brought to you by Keeper Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. Dan Skillings Jr. scored 25. Cincinnati took advantage of KU not playing with Hunter Dickinson, Kevin McCullough out due to injury, and the Bearcats winning 72-52 last night. Bearcats trying to keep their chance alive of having a shot at the NCAA tournament. And once again, Dickinson McCullough did not play in the game. KU was down 13 at halftime, rallied and cut it to two on that jumper you just heard by KJ Adams. Adams had a career high 22. That matches career high, but it wasn't enough as KU falls to Cincinnati. Cut it to 240-38, but eventually lose by 20. Cincinnati had 17 points off of KU's 12 turnovers. KU shot just 34% from the floor, 15% from three. 3 of 20 from three were the Jayhawks, and that certainly will not get it done. Let's hear from Bill Self on his thoughts as KU did their best, even though they were shorthanded.
Yeah, I thought the guys tried hard. You know, we didn't have enough bullets in our gun tonight. We did some good things defensively. But they killed us on the glass. It's got 16 offensive rebounds, and then we couldn't guard the ball the first half. You know, we guarded their actions. We just couldn't guard the ball. You know, they outscore us by 18 from beyond the arc, and that's the difference in the game. Our guys tried hard. Obviously, you know, that's not a very good Kansas team out there. You know, playing without our two studs.
Very true. Kansas looked like a different team. It went kind of the way I think a lot of us expected it to go last night against Cincinnati. If it were an NCAA tournament game, Coach Self was asked, would McCullough and Dickinson, would they have played last night?
Hunter for sure couldn't. Kevin probably could have. But Hunter, you know, that there's when it popped out of place and you know, the MRI and what the doctor said, you know, he's got to pass some tests before we'd put him out there. But, you know, you could make a case that if this game was played on Saturday, could he have played? The answer may be yes. But he should be good to go by next week.
We mentioned KU just not making shots. Johnny Furphy was 1 of 8. Emeko Jackson was 2 of 11. Nicholas Timberlake was 2 of 9. DeJuan Harris was 3 of 11. Didn't get it done from the perimeter or just regular jump shots. And Bill Self on his team just trying to refine their confidence.
You got to get a swag back, you know. Jeez. You know, guys are aiming the ball instead of shooting it. And you know, I haven't asked these guys this, but you know, we had four starters go combined 8 for 39 tonight. It's like they're shooting at the fair, you know, where the balls can't actually fit through the goals. We got to start shooting at a bigger basket, and you know, we got about, what do we have, about 7 to 8 days that we can get some of that back.
Yeah, time running out for KU to get everything figured out, but Bill Self is perhaps the best coach in America currently. Some people say it's not perhaps. He is. And, of course, the biggest question is going to be McCullough and going to be Dickinson. How efficient, how effective, how healthy will they be going in the NCAA tournament? So KU's done at the Big 12 tournament after just one day. That's very rare for KU. And now they will wait and see where they'll go when the tournament special comes out on Sunday, the selection show. Kansas expected to be a 3 seed. Maybe they'll slide to a 4 with what's going on with them now. Kansas State, the game prior to the KU game last night, had a big matchup against Texas. K-State, the 10 seed, Texas, the 7 seed. K-State was down 10 at halftime, but the Wildcats able to rally, come back, and get a big win.
Long three.
Cats in the game.
Tyler Perry with a team-high 21 points, and he had his 30th career 20-point game, his 11th this season. He was 10 for 10 from the foul line. As K-State down 9 at halftime, rally to win 78-74 of the Longhorns. Arthur Kaluma, 14 points, 8 rebounds. David Gasson had 13 points. Cam Carter, Day-Day Ames each had 10. K-State had 5 guys in double figures. And KE State is 4-0 when they have all five, or they have five players in double figures. K-State's 4-0 when that happens. According to Bracketology by Joe Lenardi, and Joe Lenardi is not always right, so take that into account. K-State, who is now 19-13, moves on to the quarterfinals of the Big 12 tournament. They are one of the next four out. So it sounds like, if that is accurate, K-State has some work to do, which leads us to the quarterfinals today. Yesterday, BYU beat Central Florida by 14. TCU beat Oklahoma by 7. So today it's quarterfinals at 11:30 this morning. It's number 4 Texas Tech against number 5 BYU. At 2 o'clock, the 1-seed Houston against the 8-seed TCU. They played earlier this year, and it was a 1-point game. And then K-State, a very important game. They just beat Iowa State on Senior Day in Manhattan this past weekend. Now they play Iowa State again. 6 o'clock is tip time tonight for K-State in the quarterfinals. Baylor will take on Cincinnati at 8:30. Then tomorrow, the semis at 6 and 8:30. Championship Saturday at 5 o'clock from T-Mobile Center there in Kansas City. But as we said, K-State, one of the next four out, according to various bracketologists. And so they probably need to win at least tonight. And maybe they have to get to the Big 12 championship game. Of course, if they win it, they win the tournament, they then get the automatic bid, and there's nothing to worry about. Coming up in 30 seconds, Nebraska loses their athletic director.
I'm Elijah at Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit. You depend on your vehicle every day to get you where you need to go. The best way to keep it ready and avoid breakdowns is through proper maintenance. Whether it's oil, fluids, filters, spark plugs, belts, hoses, or brakes, we can help. Give yourself the peace of mind of knowing your vehicle is ready to go. For fast, friendly vehicle maintenance, call Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit. Find us just south of the courthouse or on the web at KieferBrothers.com.
I love this place. I love the state of Nebraska. I don't want to be anywhere else. I have a belief based on what I know of what's happening in college athletics and the shift in happening. I believe that this is the best athletic director job in the country.
That was former Nebraska athletic director Trev Alberts just 4 months ago in November to a TV station in Omaha that it's the best athletic director job in America. 4 months later, he leaves the best athletic director job in America. It's college sports is insane. Texas A&M hiring Nebraska's Trev Alberts to replace Ross Bjork as its athletic director. How badly did A&M want Trev Alberts? They paid Nebraska $4.1 million to buy out the contract and get Trev Alberts to be their new AD. Alberts, a former football star with the Cornhuskers, had been AD at Nebraska for just short of 3 years. He leaves after overseeing the construction and planning for massive football facility projects in Lincoln. It is a surprise to many, especially when he said what he said publicly back in November. In June of 2023, oversight of athletics moved to the Nebraska president's office. And then just a few months later in August, Nebraska President Ted Carter announced he was leaving for Ohio State. In November, Trev Alberts, who said it was the best job in America, was given a raise from $800,000 to $1.7 million. His salary was doubled, more than doubled. And now, 4 months later, he is no longer the AD at Nebraska, leaving for greener pastures, apparently, to the south at Texas A&M. Alberts, in a statement, said, and I quote, "From my perspective, there has never been a more consequential time in history for higher education and the evolving landscape of intercollegiate athletics. Leadership matters now more than ever before. My interest in Texas A&M is not only due to its prestigious reputation, but also because of President Mark Walsh's compelling vision, in which I believe athletics can play a small but important role in helping Texas A&M achieve unprecedented success." Albert said it was bittersweet leaving his alma mater. He went on to add, "I truly want to express my gratitude to the University of Nebraska. The school and its fans have been and always will be immensely important to me. Nebraska changed my life, and I'm thankful for the incredible 15 years I spent in the state." Now, there are people that are connecting some dots here and saying, okay, Nebraska's had a vacancy at president for a while, and perhaps Trev Alberts wasn't happy with the situation and where it was going, and then went to greener pastures and more than likely getting paid more than even $1.7 million, which was a double of his salary by Nebraska back in November, just 4 months ago, when he said it was the best job in the country. So Trev Alberts leaving Nebraska to go to Texas A&M, and we'll see what Nebraska does when it comes to their president. They have opening there and their athletic director. So some interesting times at Nebraska, to say the least. Turn our attention to baseball. The Kansas City Royals in spring training out in Arizona, and the Royals win yesterday 3-2, and they are now 12-7 this spring. They'll take on the D-backs today at 3:10. One of the greatest athletes to ever play in Kansas City will now be immortalized in the Royals Hall of Fame. To me, he is the greatest athlete I've ever seen in my life, and it's not even close. Bo Jackson has been elected to the Royals Hall of Fame by the Royals Hall of Fame Veterans Committee, the team announcing this yesterday. He'll be inducted in an on-field ceremony on June 29th at Kauffman Stadium. There's so many amazing things that Bo did as a player. Of course, he won the Heisman Trophy at Auburn in 85, shocked the sports world by signing with the Royals in 86 after the Bucks had used the number one overall draft pick for him. Scout Ken Gonzalez described Jackson as the greatest pure athlete in America. And he was a two-sport star. Actually, he was a star in every sport he did in college. And then he made his major league debut on September 2nd, 1986, had his first career hit. 12 days later, hit his first homer, a 475-foot shot that was the longest ever at Royal Stadium at the time. And he hit a leadoff home run in the 89 All-Star Game en route to an MVP performance. He led the Royals with 32 homers, 105 RBIs during the 89 season, had 28 homers in 1990. Of course, there's so many highlights of Bo Jackson. People think of him breaking the bat over his head or over his knee. I think of he had three homers and three at-bats against the Yankees. If he didn't get hurt in that game, he might have had four homers and four at-bats. The one that really is amazing is the throw all the way from the warning track that nailed Harold Reynolds in the King Dome in 1986. Was just insane. He went up the walls and robbed people of home runs, and he was a raw base runner, but had tremendous speed and, of course, the power. He did strike out a lot, no question about that. He was raw and still learning how to play the game when he had that freak injury when he played with the Raiders once the baseball season was over. Bo Jackson, here's what he had to say about being inducted into the Royals Hall of Fame.
I was floored when I heard about it, but the thing with me is that when I think about back when I played with Kansas City, it's not about the things that I did per se on the field. It's the camaraderie. It's the friendships and relationships that I made for that time that I was there. And still have close friendships and ties with most of the guys. I was doing those things when I was a little kid, because we didn't have all of the stuff that kids had now to go outside and play with. We had to go out and make our own fun. As far as some of my favorite memories in Kansas City, it's not the breaking of the bat. It's not, whenever I think and really think about some of my favorite moments, it's standing on home deck circle and looking back in the stands and winking at Art Stewart's wife, Donna. Because she and Art was like my mom and dad while I was in Kansas City. And I would always speak to her or wave to her or wink at her every time I go up to the plate. But it's things like that. The baseball part was easy. The baseball part was easy. It's just the fact that I was able to come into a great organization and do the things that I did. And the Royals allowed me to blossom. I've become an emotional person now. And just sitting back looking at the privilege it was to play with all these famous people. Everybody would ask me, what it's like to be on the same team with Frank White, George Brett, Willie Wilson, Brett Saberhagen, Dan Quisenberry, Dennis Leonard. They'd ask those questions. And I'm like, hey, those guys are my teammates, and I was in awe with everybody that I played with. It's those type of things that I think about when I think about my days with the Royals. It's nothing that I did, because not saying that I've been doing it on that level, but I've been doing stuff like that since I was 8, 9 years old.
Bo Jackson, a freak of an athlete, the greatest athlete that I've ever seen in my lifetime. And as I said, it's not even close. I mean, Deion Sanders was a really awesome, amazing. He could play two sports there for a while, but he didn't do what Bo did. It wasn't even close. And, I mean, they had commercial campaign, a whole marketing campaign. Bo knows. And if Bo was what he was then, now, with all the social media craze and how crazy people go in regards to various athletes, it would be insane. All the hubbub around Bo Jackson. It was then, but it could be even amplified by probably 100 in today's modern age. So Bo Jackson going into the Royals Hall of Fame, and it is well-deserved, and he will be in there officially on June the 29th. Turning our attention to the Kansas City Chiefs, I talked yesterday about Calvin Ridley was probably the best receiver that was out there that I thought would be a good fit with the Chiefs, but not if he is going to get $92 million. And that's what he got yesterday. Surprise, late team jumped in, the Titans. So he's going from the Jaguars to the Titans. 4 years, $92 million, $50 million in guaranteed money. He's 29 years old. He had a 1,000-yard season last year. So, listen, I would have loved to have Calvin Ridley as a Chief, but not for $92 million over 4 years and $50 million guaranteed. It's way too much money for Calvin Ridley. There are some rumors out there now that the Chiefs are close to signing Marquise Brown, who used to play at Oklahoma. Of course, he has some former OU teammates of his on the Chiefs. They are pleading for him to come to Kansas City. He can do a lot of things. He can be a possession receiver at times. He can go deep. He has great speed. He can do jet sweeps, so forth and so on. The problem for Hollywood Brown has been just staying healthy. He's been banged up here and there the last few years. There now are some rumors that Tyler Boyd, wide receiver for the Bengals, that he could sign with the Steelers, but it's being reported that the Chiefs might be the biggest obstacle in Boyd signing with the Steelers, because the Chiefs are going after Tyler Boyd. And so that's something to keep an eye on. A Cincinnati Bengal wide receiver. Last offseason, remember, Orlando Brown went to the Bengals. This offseason, Tyler Boyd may be going to the Chiefs. Irv Smith, the junior, tied in with the Bengals last year. He just signed with the Chiefs on a one-year deal. So the Chiefs and the wide receiver position is a position that people are following as Chiefs fans. You don't get all caught up in the linebackers or the DBs or the D tackles, but you really get excited when you're talking about offensive toys for Patrick Mahomes. And there's no doubt the Chiefs need to improve their wide receiving core. Rashee Rice, Justin Watson, Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney. Brett Veach said that they think that Toney and Moore can still do some good things for him in the future. So we'll see. It sounds like they're not giving up on those two guys. So if they're in the mix, that's four wide receivers. Justin Ross, I have no idea if he's planning to be counted on in the future. I wouldn't count on it myself. So you need a few receivers. And if you get a Tyler Boyd or a Marquise Brown, Hunter Renfrow is a free agent. He was released by the Raiders. You know, you get one of those three guys, or if it's Boyd or Brown, Marquise Brown or Boyd, that would be the higher tier. And then Renfrow might be just a nice thing to grab if you can get him for a cheap amount. And remember, there's another Hunter Renfrow that the Royals just signed this offseason. So you could have two Hunter Renfrows in Kansas City. What are the odds of that? I think Renfrow will not be a Chief, personally. It's just the guy I thought that would be fairly cheap that would be a good fit as a possession receiver for the Chiefs. But if they get Marquise Brown and then they draft a wide receiver, that might be all the Chiefs need to do. Or maybe they will get Tyler Boyd instead of Marquise Brown. I doubt they get Brown and Boyd, but they get one of those guys. I would guess they'll draft another wide receiver in the draft in April, and they add two receivers to the mix, and who knows what else. Maybe they draft a couple of receivers in the draft. So the Chiefs are still being linked to a couple of free agent wide receivers. There are rumors out there that with Calvin Ridley going to the Titans, would DeAndre Hopkins be cut loose? And if so, then he would be available. And that's the guy that a lot of people wanted last offseason in Chiefs Kingdom and insisted that the Chiefs had to have him to win a Super Bowl. And once again, those people were wrong. So we'll continue to follow the wide receiver situation with the Kansas City Chiefs.